All right, Luke 13. Must be a sign.
It is God to be.
They were present at that season. Some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Now, we talked a little bit about it. This was at one of the, I said it was Passover before, but it was at one of the feasts, probably within the last 20 years of this time period. There's nothing written about it in secular history, and there's very little just references to it in the Jewish history. But what happened was there was a group that made the zealots look like they were weenies in Galilee, rebelling against the Roman Empire. And somehow they did something that was beyond the pale. And so during the time that they were offering the sacrifices, when they were slaughtering, it had to be one of the pilgrimage feasts, but that's all I know. He had his assassins go into the crowd and slay these Galileans. And the blood wasn't mixed. It says here that the blood was mixed. What does it say? Whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices. That sounds like that's not what happened. The blood, just because they were stabbed in the process of preparing the Passover, the blood was mingled with the sacrifices. Right. And so there was it was the same deal that we have now. There was a tendency to believe in the Jewish world that God blessed you by doing good things, and that if there were bad things, it'd be because you were a serious sinner. So that fiction was throughout, and this is what Jesus is addressing. That some were sinners above others and they deserved to die. And so anyway, that's what this is about. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then there's the next thing is, there was a tower in Shiloh, which is not too far from Jerusalem. It could have been one of these watchtowers that we were talking about that were manned by the priests to keep the animals from going too far. But the tower fell and it killed 18 people. And so it had to be a major tower. Others say that it was the tower that fell was one of the big dealies that Rome had built for the transfer of water on the aqueducts. So it could have been in a valley, and they were in the valley, and the tower fell. So, but anyway, it's the same idea.
What's the deal with what Jesus is saying here? It's except you repent, you shall likewise perish. What's he mean then?
Again, they were discussing it. He overheard them probably. Probably among them, his disciples were talking about these 18, I mean these Galileans that died because God permitted.
They were terrible sinners.
Huh?
They were terrible sinners, worse than everyone else, so God killed them.
Right.
And then he says, no.
No, except you repent, so you will likewise perish.
And almost confirm. confirms it, that if you don't repent, then that's what's going to happen to you.
It's the same, everybody. The world, all of Adam. There was no special place for Jews that were, remember, the fiction at that time was the same as the fiction today. Once saved, always saved. Their salvation was, they believed the salvation was by their bloodline. Mm-hmm. And they were saved on the merit of Abraham. So they had to do something terrible to die, to not get in. Well, that was a fiction that Jesus addressed here. You're not getting it.
A little obtuse to me. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I guess he's saying everybody's the same, you know. That your salvation doesn't come by what you do or don't do. It's by grace and by him.
No, it's depending on your repentance. That's what the sentence says.
So he's leveling the playing field here. So
right. That, again, today we have Christians all over the place that have been taught that once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. Same as the Jews had a fiction that says they were inheritors of the kingdom of God because of their bloodline.
Yeah.
Both of them are wrong. And Jesus was addressing the first one here.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, except you repent. Now again, it's metanoia. I can't pronounce it, but it's
yeah.
of the. It means with the mind.
So if you don't repent, you're no different than them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why you will likewise perish.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
All right, but now again, the word repent, again, this is one of many other places, but this is the only grace that God gave you that's pleasing to him, of your mind, that you can repent. So the word is with the mind, repent.
Metanoma.
Huh? Well, no, it's nomio. So anyway, you got that?
I got it.
Okay, then he repeats the same thing about the tower that fell at Siloam. Nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So it's a doubling of the same message. Now that's why, I mean, we've got to see that repentance is always the issue. It's the first thing Jesus said. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. But the repentance is, well, let's repeat some things. Let's go look and see what how God sees us. Go to Matthew 23, I think. Yeah, Matthew 23, start in verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto or against yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. Now, this is repeated all over the place. Fill up the measure of your fathers. You got to. Everybody has to come to the place where you are the chief of sinners and you cannot be improved. You cannot be improved upon. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You can't learn anything. The only issue is always and ever repentance. But you can't. Let's go there. You serpents, you generation of vipers, you serpents, the sons of the snake, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now, all these things shall come upon the generation of Adam. Adam cannot be fixed. And you can't continue in sin. You can't continue using your minds. Your mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And it's the only enemy of God in time and space, your mind, which includes your emotions. Does anybody believe that?
Why do you leave the ego out?
Ego is just a word that means that somebody invented.
We know what it means, even though it was invented. We talked about this at Pentecost. And we quickly said, no, the ego is not involved.
Well, I'm talking about what Jesus said. I don't care what some Freudian said. The mind is the mind is the mind. This consciousness. The use of the mind is forbidden because it cannot be of faith. That's the bottom line. I don't understand why you talk about the ego.
I don't know why you blow it off like it doesn't mean anything. It's a dumb question.
Well, I don't understand. I don't mean think it's a dumb question, but it's not. That's not addressed here.
Isn't the ego the sum total of who you are and your personal Adamic expression of that self that comes out through your?
I have no idea what the ego is.
Are you kidding?
I mean,
what is self? Abandon yourself. Abandon your mind. It's a broad statement, and it includes, I assume it includes every aspect of your identity, yourself,
it includes your consciousness of yourself and any concern about self,
okay,
and any protection of self.
What about the subconsciousness of self? I mean, that's where the ego springs up, I suppose.
I don't know about ego, certainly isn't in the subconscious. Ego is consciousness by definition, it's self awareness.
But its roots are out of your subconscious.
No. That's why God, again, if you mean, this isn't what the Bible says, but it's the way I understand the Bible, what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. When man fell, when Adam and Eve ate of that tree of knowledge, the mind split. So now there's a consciousness of self. And that consciousness of self tries to always be in control, tries to improve, tries to get better, tries blah, blah, blah. Self-awareness. That's why except you be converted and become as that darling infant, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's no, you lose the consciousness of self. Any awareness of self in any way, you confess as, because it is, that is sin. I don't understand what you don't understand about it.
What happened to the other half? You said it's split.
The subconscious is the only reason that you can stay alive. If you were in charge, or if any man was in charge, he would die instantly. Because he'd have to keep the blood flowing. He'd have to release the enzymes to digest whatever you're eating. He'd have to
that's all motor functions. That's not involved in it.
That's what the subconscious is the motor functions that keep you alive.
No.
What is it then?
I feel a little bit badly because we're having this conversation about ego, and Gary and I, as you know, had that talk a couple of weeks ago, and I'm the one who brought up the ego thing and we talked about it, and I think that's where this is coming from a little bit because of our conversation. So I feel badly Gary defending it when I'm the one who brought it up.
Okay, I don't care who defends it.
I'm not going to defend it. I'm just talking about, this is going to get really complicated and complex very, very quickly. I'm talking about, I use the word ego for my, I don't care what you think. It's what I call the separation between this mind business. When you say the mind can't do anything except, or the mind doesn't do this except, or the mind doesn't do that except. I'm not disagreeing with you when you talk about the evilness of the mind. The mind will delude us. The mind will take us down paths that are bad. They're evil. I believe that. But Scripture also says, examine yourself. Scripture also says, wake up. It says, wake up a couple of times in here that I'm aware of. We've read those. That's the difference between mind and ego in my recognition of trying to come up with something that settles in me. Don't say that ego or the subconscious is a motor function. That's not true.
Well, what is it then?
Well, I don't know what it is.
How do you know it's not true then?
Well, how do you know it is? Those are things.
Because the consciousness. Again, I don't care.
That always aggravates me when you do that. You start describing something by laughing. It's condescending as hell, and I don't like that.
I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at me.
I don't care what you're laughing at. Don't do it. This is serious.
Oh, God.
It sure didn't appear you're laughing at yourself.
The point here is, the only thing that I'm not concerned with what the world's definition of anything is. I'm concerned with what this definition is.
I know that, and that bothers me a little bit too, frankly, because it's too absolute.
Was the fall absolute?
Oh, I don't know. That starts to be, these questions like this just make my head numb. Was the fall absolute? Goodness, holy. Where do you start answering that? What does that mean, was the fall absolute?
That's what it says. It's because of the fall, sin entered in.
I'm telling you that I believe that your mind will delude you. And I believe that's a function of this notion of the fall.
Because it makes you the sin.
It makes you the sin. And when I talk about ego, to jump and leap all over the place here, what I'm talking about is self-awareness. That's what I'm talking about.
And that's what I'm talking about.
And that's why I'm saying we're not disagreeing here a lot. But I have to, in my consciousness, in my being, I'm trying to understand this, and I don't. So the only thing I can do is try to disseminate this a little bit and figure out what makes sense to me and what doesn't. And that's not an answer necessarily either. But I have a difficult time with the absoluteness of this statement about the mind and your enemy. And
let's go to Romans 8.
I don't care about Romans.
Well, I can't even discuss anything with you.
Talk to me about it. Talk to me about it. I don't care about Romans.
If you don't care about Romans, then you want to be in a cult.
Now, hold on a second. That's not true.
Well, then that's pretty well damn true.
No, he wants to talk to you.
It doesn't matter one iota what I think about something.
So you don't have a notion at all about what Ole Anthony thinks. This is it. What do you do when you come up against something?
I repent.
Of what?
About not seeing. That's the only common denominator in my 40-some years of being a believer. I never try to figure it out.
Then repentance puts you in a place where you and God are one. Is that not clear?
Repentance always puts you in the place where you've emptied.
And
you can...
You're just empty nothingness?
You then are in touch with that mystery of Christ within you.
Right, and that's the person I think he's addressing that he wants to talk to. Have you not been absorbed by these scriptures you've studied 19 hours? That you don't have to rely on them. You just are them. So talk.
Then you can go down and look at David Koresh. That's what he convinced the people of down there.
Convinced them of what?
That he was the Bible incarnate.
How about Christ incarnate?
What about him?
Is that not who we are?
We are, that he is made flesh in us.
And from that position we can speak openly.
But again, it has to line up with the scriptures. That's what the scriptures are for. It's not to learn, it's to keep you from being led astray.
So what about people who don't have this book? They have no chance.
Well, then God will provide. I mean, there's always the mystery of if he's going to call, he's going to produce what's necessary for it to happen. We have the book.
But at some point, the book takes effect.
Well, okay, I can quote them all if you want me to.
I don't want a quote. Nobody wants a quote. We want what has happened.
I believe that my mind is evil above all things.
Okay, now.
And I believe that my mind is the instead of Christ.
No disagreement.
And therefore, I can't use it for anything.
Except repentance.
That's the only thing.
That's the only thing.
Okay, once you've repented, can you be talked to? In a state where you've repented?
I don't know what that means.
There's a disconnect here that you don't want to answer John's question. You want to go with the Bible and let the Bible answer the question.
Well, that's not just him. You wanted that all several times, too.
As have many people that have come and left this place. They want to talk to you. If you won't talk to them directly, you've got the Bible as your backup. As if the Spirit of God is not sufficient in you to speak as the oracle of God, and whatever comes out, right or wrong.
You told me once this book was... not the word. This was a book about the word.
It's words about the word.
And that meant a lot to me. But I don't see that. I don't feel that. This is the beginning, the end, the whole thing. right here. This is not about anything. This is it.
Now that's not what I've ever taught. You know that. I've taught the revelation of Christ in every word of the Scripture.
Yeah, because we find the verses that support that, and that's what. And I'm not arguing that. I'm not.
Christ found the Scriptures that supported it. That's
so
what
does
said.
That mean when you say this is not the Word? This is a book about the Word.
The Word of God is Jesus Christ.
But there's words of Jesus Christ that aren't in here.
Well,
is that possible?
That's not possible. It's more than 100% true.
Okay. Well then, every justification, that might be the word. Every answer, we go to Romans. But there might be an answer that's not in Romans because it's the word of Jesus that's not in the book. Exactly.
Everybody.
Exactly.
And in that state, we have fellowship.
And I would say to you that if it's not, that if it's just something I think, then it's not worth anything.
So you don't know the difference between what you think and what might be the word of Jesus, which is not in the book?
Well, that never has even entered my consciousness, except
well,
to
well,
die.
Well, enter it right now. I mean, let's talk about this for one second. If you're telling me that this is the word of Jesus, I accept that. It is.
But so is the Old Testament.
Okay, I'm talking about this. Old Testament's in here. But I'm also going to tell you that I believe that there's more to this book besides the words that are in here.
And where are they?
I don't know where they are.
And how would you...
They're in me.
How would you define them as being truth then?
I don't know how to do... I don't have any of those answers. But I do not believe that this is necessarily, I'm not talking about specifics, I don't believe that this is necessarily the beginning, the end, the whole thing. I think there, even if it's implied, there is more to my faith than what is written, verbiage, Romans, every place else in this book. Romans is important. Ecclesiastes is the greatest words I've ever read in any book ever. Ever. But there's more. Am I wrong for thinking that way?
Well, you're on a slippery slope.
Absolutely, I'm on a slippery slope. There's no doubt about it. But I'll say this, and I don't mean to be arrogant about this, but I'm confident in my slippery slope. I have to have an awareness of where I'm putting my foot down. Because if I put it down in the wrong place, I'm going down that hill. But the consciousness, the awareness, the examination of where I put my foot down is really important to me.
Well, but then that defies the meaning of abandoning yourself.
No, I don't think that it does.
Well, tell me how it doesn't.
Matter of fact, I would go further and tell you that it is how you abandon yourself.
By looking at yourself?
Yes, I beg your pardon?
You abandon yourself by being concerned with yourself?
I didn't say I was concerned with myself.
Well, you said
that's not what I said.
You said where you're going to put your next step.
Correct.
That's concerned with self.
No, it isn't.
If you're going to yell at me, I'm going to yell back.
It isn't. Yell at me, I don't care.
What is it then?
You're putting words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm saying if you don't say that...
You're telling me when I put my foot down, it's self-consciousness.
If you are thinking about it...
I'm telling you that's wrong. I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, I think it's the antithesis of that. I think it's an awareness that I have. Cautiousness. An examination. Am I on this slippery slope? It's meaningful to me because I'm on a slippery slope. I'm just going to go skipping through the woods. It's meaningful to me. It's important to me.
Hear me. My whole life is based on be careful for nothing. That's been the hallmark of everything since the day I became a believer. Be careful for nothing.
Are you careful for your faith?
Not now. I know it's It's not an issue any longer. I know that he's in me. I've examined myself. That's the only place it says to examine yourself, by the way.
I don't care if it's the only place. It's in there.
It says examine yourself. Prove that you're in your faith. No, you're not.
It says it three times in four scriptures.
Three times and four times and whatever.
Correct. You're right.
But the point of it is that's examining yourself is to prove that to yourself that Jesus Christ is in you. Once you know that, self is abandoned. Well, I don't know else how to live.
There's another issue in here about the faith of Abraham, who goes without knowing. He just went. He didn't know where he's going or why. It was like he got the unction from God or however that works to go. And I don't think there's that much carefulness involved. It's scary and it's slippery slope-ish, whatever that's about. But there is a going without knowing. I don't know where consciousness fits into that. Maybe there is a conscious fear because you're stepping out with in faith, which is blind, which is only substantiated by the presence of God in you. And that will move.
But the whole idea of examining yourself to prove that you're in the faith is that Jesus Christ is in you. And so There's no concern about what my mind would or wouldn't say. That's empty. The mind of Christ is your total emptiness. And there's careful for nothing. That's how I live. That's how I've lived for 40-some years. I tried to prove it was wrong because it cost me everything. But if you're going to ask me to teach without teaching the Bible, then...
Now, where did that come from?
Well, that's what it sounded like. You wanted to hear what I have to say.
Holy, you do that to me all the time. I never said anything like that. I never inferred anything like that. But that's where you go. Don't do that. Please, don't do that. I never said teach us without those scriptures. I never said that.
You said, both of you said you're interested in what I think. And I'm telling you, I don't care what I think.
I'm telling you what I don't think I do either, a lot. I mean, do I care what you think? I mean, yeah, you're the example. Yeah, I do care. You're sitting in the big chair. So I do care. I do watch. It is important to me.
The only thing that is ever talked about in terms of following another person is to follow their faith. As an example, if I have shown you faith, I pray that that's what you follow. If I've shown you anything else, it's meaningless.
Well, you've as people who have written about the foundation have suggested, you do it, you live it. You as Bruce Fogarty says, you walk the walk. That is a marvel. I don't know people who can do that. I'm amazed by that. I'm reinforced by that. All those good things. But all of a sudden, out of left field, comes this statement that really, I don't know where it comes from. It's not anything relevant to what we're talking about.
The relevance was both you and Gary said you wanted to know what I think, not what the Bible says. Both of you said that this morning.
I don't remember saying that.
You demonstrate that you don't understand the question.
I don't remember saying that.
Well, I'm sorry then. Forgive me.
I think the point is, you did it when he said, well, let's go to Romans. No, let's go to Romans. Let's talk about it.
No, he said,
Romans.
He said, I want to know what you think.
Exactly. Well, now, you can't take that and then misconstrue it. And then
how did I misconstrue it?
By what you just said. You don't understand the question. It's not so much what you think. You should be steeped in the scriptures throughout your entire being. You don't have to use them as a backup. Are they not in you as Christ in you? Did he pull out the Torah every time he wanted to talk? And say, well,
he quoted the Torah more than
he might
constant.
Have
As it is written, as it is written, as it is written.
So he never spoke spontaneously?
Well, that was spontaneous to him.
Okay, well, that's what we're saying.
And I speak spontaneously every morning and every day, all the time. But I'm not going to give it any importance unless the scriptures back it up.
So, until you die, they're not going to... Oh, well, there's something about the fullness of Christ being in you.
Only in repentance.
In repentance. Is there not life after repentance?
Well, but the point is you have to repent of using your mind. That's the whole issue.
So then that's done. Look,
but then you use your mind right to right for after it.
So there is no life after repentance.
There's only faith after repentance.
Can faith talk? You're skirting the issue here. Only.
What issue am I skirting?
You won't. All you have is repentance and nothing else. Repent, but there's nothing on the other side of it. Just repent, or you keep repenting. Repent. Nothing after.
Every time that you come into the picture, every time there's an awareness of you, every time you use your mind, why do I repent?
Where is Jesus Christ in you? Does he have a voice?
Well, that's his business, not mine.
Okay, well, it's my business then, because I'm talking to you. It's not about you now.
Okay.
You have repented. I expect to be talking to the Spirit of God or some manifestation of Spirit, not only Anthony.
Well, what would you...
So as that being, he doesn't need the Bible. The Bible's already manifest because Jesus Christ is in you. It's not only Anthony.
The Word has to be made flesh. That's what sanctification is. I'm certainly not perfected.
Is not the Word made flesh in you?
Some of it is.
Okay.
Not all of it. If it was, I'd be perfected and gone.
As with all of us, I suppose. But where's the fullness of God? So now it's time dependent. When it, you know, in time and time and time. These things have to add up.
Well, if you don't think they add up, that's the whole thing. That's the whole reason I've done what I've done for all these years. So because they do add up. If you can find a place where they don't, let me know.
I'm talking to you right now.
Where don't they line up?
When you've repented, there's life after repentance. And the life is Jesus Christ.
Fine.
And
is Christ in you the only hope of glory?
Can Christ be talking to Christ as we are, as that Spirit is manifest in us?
Well, if you light. Walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship.
Exactly. And I don't have to back it up with a book.
Well, I do. Maybe it's because I'm weak in the faith, then.
Well,
I don't care what words come out unless they're proven here.
You speak as the oracle of God. The oracle doesn't sit there with the book.
Well, listen, I've got 600 or 700 of those things of what would God say. You know, what would God say to this? What would God say to that? What would God say to the church? But I'm not gonna say they're God's words. That's just what came out. I'm not gonna be arrogant enough to say I'm not gonna publish a book. What would God say by Ole Anthony? That's arrogance beyond arrogance.
Well, I'm not asking you to publish a book, and that's the purpose.
Well, if you're asking me to put Ole's name on God's word.
Exactly the opposite. I told you that it's not.
But my point to you is
there is this mystery.
The mystery is always and ever Christ in you, the hope of glory, which has been hid from all ages and all generations, including this one.
Is it just a hope or is it a reality?
Well, that's what you prove.
Right, and we prove it with honest conversation with one another.
No, you prove it to yourself. You have to prove to yourself that he's in you. You have to risk your own life. And if he's not in you, you die.
You've done it. I've done it. We've done the proving to ourselves.
Okay, but don't...
You declare it. I declare it. Now what? Fellowship.
Now hopefully we share the mystery with others. Hopefully that there's no one in our life that we have ever seen or know that doesn't know who we are. And that mystery is shared by me with at every place I go and every place I am. It's nothing else. I despise small talk. The tyranny of the obvious is just beyond measure. I'm interested in him and him alone.
That's what we're talking about.
But you're vain jangling to me.
That's demeaning.
You want to say, well, when is it? I'm not interested in doing that. I'm still, if you're going to ask me what happened, I'm going to the book. That's fine.
But you don't hear questions. You don't hear them correctly, and then you restate what you heard.
I don't hear questions.
Absolutely, you don't hear questions correctly.
Never.
Most of the time, you don't even listen to what I'm asking the question, and I've had to correct you 1,000 times and say that's not what I was asking. You were answering another question than what I asked, and then we go back and I try and explain where I'm coming from, but you're not that concerned. You will try, and occasionally we have communication. But there's a block that is hard to get through in talking to you. And that's what John was referring to, I believe.
Well,
and so are we not brothers and we can talk about this, or is this just a show? At some point...
I am not going to sit around and talk about what I think about something.
You don't understand the damn question.
Yeah, but I do understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to say, okay, now it's God speaking. Now it's Jesus Christ speaking.
Well, you don't say that. You don't have to say that.
Thus saith the Lord.
You've already said Jesus Christ is in me. You've said that. Okay, I take you at that. And now who am I talking to? Who's Christ in me talking to? There's a reality, and we don't have to put words on it unless we're in this situation. But there's a wall.
The wall is this. When people ask me a question, I go to the scriptures. Now, I suppose we could, if I could make some kind of vow, I wasn't going to do that. Or I'm not going to do that anymore. I'll try not to do that anymore.
And we're not even asking you.
But listen, I know you're not. But listen, that's the only thing that I... ever we do. If I'm talking out in the world, I don't go to the scriptures. But I'm talking to you who are to be the inheritors of like precious faith and whose mystery will be to share that like precious faith. From my perspective, that means I have to always reference what I teach by the scripture so that you will know where they are. So that you will know that it wasn't something that I made up. My purpose in teaching, and if it's not it, then I'm out of here. My purpose in teaching is so that others may teach the like precious faith.
Okay, we like that. That's perfect. There's nothing at all wrong with that.
Well, that's why I go to the scriptures.
But if we can't have a conversation and set that aside for a moment.
But why would you want to?
Because what's the fulfillment of the scriptures? Are we being taught to be, you know, I can't talk without the book. You go out and do it in public.
Because I'm not trying to make them be disciples. The disciples, I want you to be able to do and do the same thing I'm doing, but a lot better.
I think of Paul who said we are the epistles of Christ. We are it. It has become
when you are gone.
It has become us, and we are gone. And in that state, we will speak, and we will speak the essence of the scriptures and their meaning. If we need to go back and refer, okay, but it's not like...
But that's not... I'm going to teach from the scriptures.
And is not speaking as an oracle of God the same thing?
Wow.
To show that the scriptures are not just written words in a book, they are words that have become life.
But that's shown by your life, not by your words.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
But shown by your life.
By your life and by your speech.
No, not by my words, it's not shown. It's by my life. Am I living by faith alone? Have I lost, given up everything? It's not, that's the it's not argument or discussion that's going to cause any life.
Yeah, these discussions actually shouldn't be so loud, you know. It's like we have to scream at each other to be heard, it seems like. We have to raise our voices when they're really not that.
Well,
they're simpler questions than that.
When you're addressing the issues that to me are no faith, then I have to say that.
Yeah,
when you are addressing the issues that have nothing to do with repentance, then I have to say that.
And what I had to say on the ego thing, we did have a talk, and I saw something there that presses repentance to a level I hadn't even considered before. And the idea of ego, we know what ego is, and you know what ego is. And don't pretend you don't.
I believe the ego is your conscious mind that gives you your identity. That's what I believe the ego is.
What about that split? Is that split mind just for motor function, or is there some relationship that gives the conscious its information?
I don't think there's. I think the split is real, and it's what made you to be sin, instead
right.
of what you do is sin.
So it certainly should be addressed if it's what part.
And the motor functions are.
That's
just God keeping you alive.
Right, so it really doesn't belong to the conversation. The point is a deeper level of repentance.
Well, what is that deeper level?
And that deeper level is to address verbally, mentally, for a moment, the repentance of the unknown. Things that are taking place in you that you don't even know what they are. They're causing you to look at labels and get upset.
We spent many years on that very subject. That's the seven high places of your mind. We spent many, many, many years on
so
that.
So they do exist.
The subconscious?
Yes.
Sir.
So why do I have to fight with you What kind of crap is this?
I'm sorry. Go to Romans 8 real quick. I mean, not Romans 8. Ezekiel 8. Verse 7. I've taught this for years and years and years, that this is entering into your subconscious mind. That's where all the high place activity is. But it is nothing, it's this fictitious you. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And those same idols and same beasts and same phenomena are in us, because there's nothing new under the sun. And they're represented in the seven tribes of Canaan. And they're represented in the seven mountains or high places that the Whore of Babylon is sitting on. And if you're saying I haven't talked about that, then you're way, way off.
Nothing of this is about you. Nothing of this is about what you've taught.
But what you say, I don't talk about this subconscious.
When you sit there and tell me you don't even know what the subconscious is, what am I to think?
Now, no, I said I don't know what ego is.
You don't know what ego is.
And I don't. I still don't.
It's an I motive.
I know that's its definition.
Well,
so and does it not have a relationship in everything we talk about? I mean, right here, it's clear.
I know that's what that's my point. I've been teaching that for years.
So why do you deny it when you talk to us?
Deny what?
That you don't understand. You don't know what ego is.
I didn't know what ego was. I don't know what the legal definition or the Freudian definition of ego is. I've read it, but I don't remember what it is.
From a position of a man who studied scripture for as long as you have, could not someone ask you what ego is and an answer be there?
Well, I said something similar. Yes. I said it's, I'm sure I said something like it's self-awareness. That's the fruit of the fall.
Okay.
But I don't know the definition of an ego. I know my... But my point to you is we've studied this thing about the subconscious for many years.
So then we ought to, at this point in our lives, not have difficulty...
But these aren't the motor functions.
No, they're not the motor functions.
They're something different than the motor functions.
Exactly. I'm not concerned with motor functions.
Well, I thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. I thought that's what you were talking about.
We are absolutely talking through each other. Nobody absolutely...
Why would I have any concern with repenting for motor functions? You're making a fool of me.
Well, I'm sorry, Gary. That's what I heard you say.
Well, what's the problem? Then you can't hear me. You can't understand my speech. I sit here and I listen intently. I've listened to you half my life, and I listen to what you say.
Except when you don't agree.
No, I would like some respect that you would listen to, but I don't get that, and I don't demand it, but I would enjoy it. That when I speak, it wouldn't be such garbled by the time it reaches your ears. And then you answer questions I don't ask, and you are condescending. I'm not worried about that. I don't care anymore. But I would assume that after this much time, there wouldn't be this much difficulty in communication of simple concepts. And you wouldn't bristle at ego, a word that's used forever, and many others. I mean, that just happened to come up here. And it came up in me because you quickly denied it when I asked about it last week. You didn't even consider. You just, nothing. So, it makes it funny to talk when I don't think half the time you know what I'm talking about. You don't understand what I'm saying. And yeah, I maybe talk strange. I don't know. I talk as clear as I can. And I'm as open as I can be. And yet, this communication gap. So is it just me? Maybe not. Maybe something has to happen to you.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I've never said it didn't.
Okay. And that would be nice, you know, because then we should be able to understand the scriptures easily together. But there's still battles.
Well, there's still battles when there's issues of time. There's still battles when there's issues from looking from the top down instead of the bottom up. There's just battles, and they come up periodically.
Yeah, but you always take the high road. You're always the one who knows more about time. You know more about looking from the top down. It's always like, you're teaching like this when it should be this. And that's why talking to you has a different aspect than, you know, there's a time to teach and open the book, but there's a time to talk straight. And that's what we don't do that much. I don't like to go talk to you much. I like chit chat, but coming to you with anything real, you just switch modes and you don't talk to me. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples openly. And there was clarity there. So there's something going on that John expressed it pretty well. I'm expressing it. Other people do. And it has to do with this, some kind of a wall that's built. Even your talk last night, it's like you don't see any. It's like Christ is not in anybody. It's not happening. You're disappointed at what has happened in your life and your work. Christ is not manifest in the way you would like. You know, it's there's something weird about that. And to even preach it, you know, it was like there was condemnation all over. I don't know if other people felt it, but I felt it, that we're not up to par, we're not up to snuff. We're not performing. something. It's hard to tell exactly what you're saying, and it's probably not untrue that the body of Christ in this world is struggling, but God is not out of control. There's no, you know, he's not slipping. And at that last day or whatever, it'll come together, whatever's supposed to happen. But you're dissatisfied.
Yeah, the phrase I heard, the frustration, probably was the first century, that people somehow were able to give no thought and abandon themselves. It was easier or more freely done.
Church was okay then.
And it seems to be very difficult now for people. And that...
And now I believe it's true.
Was,
it is vague.
Was painful.
You worry about us because you care about us, and I'm going to tell you something. We're much farther down the road than you think, than you know. Much farther down the road.
Then where's the reproduction?
Well, the reproduction is your expectations only. And I think
and it's also, again, forgive me, it's that's the whole mystery.
But how that manifests itself in Gary or in Jeff or in anyone else, in me, in Sue, how it manifests itself is not really my business. It's God's business.
But it's the Scripture's business.
It's God's business.
But again, that's our we.
So you want us to go out and recruit?
No, of course not. I want you to believe, therefore you speak.
You want us to go out and live it.
I want you to live it.
So that when we walk out this door, we don't get on the front porch and forget everything that we just talked about. Couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. And we all do that. By our nature, we do that. It's wrong, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it. And it will manifest itself. It will. In God's time, in God's way, it'll manifest itself. But I don't know how to do that. I try to live it. I hope that somebody sees me and says, that's a cool thing. That, you know, I don't know. But I'm not going to go out and say, watch me.
No, the whole, it's positional. Again, forgive me, but if you believe, you'll speak.
No, that's not, speaking, I'm tired of that.
Well, I want you to listen to
I hear that personally. Everybody around here is on me because I don't speak. Well, you know what?
No, this has nothing to do with speaking. It has to do with speaking this mystery to others. That's what it's talking about.
Showing mystery to others. No. Living the mystery.
No, it's speaking
speak.
It.
You can talk all you want, always, but talk is cheap. Unless you put your money where your mouth is and show.
Oh, it puts his money where his mouth.
What are you? What the hell are you talking about?
He's talking about.
What? My God.
You're talking about proselytizing.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about you. You're totally off base.
Okay, then I'm totally off base.
I'm telling you, if you believe, you will speak, and you speak the mystery that you believe.
Not all speech has words.
What? That's not what the Scripture says. And that's my guide. I'm sorry.
And I would exhort you to, you talk about my slippery slope, your expectations of how we manifest what we talk about in here is a slippery slope. That's for you.
No question. I've admitted it. I understand it.
Okay. All right. Fine. I appreciate your love for me by wanting me, hoping, praying, all those kinds of things, exhorting me. That means an enormous amount to me. That is, I feel the warmth of your concern, of your love for me. That's why I'm here. But I cannot do something because Oli told me to do it.
Never. That's.
I'm not saying that you tell me to do that. I'm saying that that's the manifestation of it. If you have expectations for how you want me to do it.
No, I don't have any expectations for you. I have expectations for the elders. That's my main pray the Bible for the, study teachers. I pray for them constantly.
Well, we all need to. We all need to pray for each other, the elders, whatever. That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. But I would say to you again, please be careful of your expectations for us and how this manifests itself in the way you see us walking around this block. Because I'm going to tell you something for a fact. I believe with every ounce of my being that there's more substance to how we do it and what we carry than you know.
This whole mystery of God is to do something. It's called exhort one another daily while it is still called today. To exhort, if you remember, it's a word that means to go from one state of being to another. The exhortation is to go from the time and space being your home to the mercy seat being your home. And that's all I know to do. And you do that by entering into the rest. You cease from your own labors. You abandon yourself into that mystery. And I'm going to continue daily to exhort to that end. That's the only reason I'm here.
That's fine. That's wonderful.
And that exhortation takes many forms.
No one's arguing with that.
Well, I don't.
As long as it's not a vow.
I guess for me, if I am amazingly zealous, or there's zeal in all of this, then to me that would imply there's not passivity.
Don't try to be B.
Yeah, in response to what you just said, it sounds like an impersonal, righteous agenda. Best you could come up with. And you're going to hold on to it. But you don't hold on to that. You give it all to God. Because you can't force us, just like he was saying, you can't be good enough. You can't back up your words with scriptures enough. It's almost like it's taken out of God's hands and you're going to make it happen by your will. And I pray it happen too. But it's not going to go on an agenda, and I'm not going to use my energy to make it manifest. That's my response to that, what you just said. It sounds great, but it also sounds like a vow that you're going to hold on to and won't be satisfied till it meets your personal...
Gary, if that were true, I'd have left this years
your
ago.
Your words. These are your words I responded to.
No, they're the scriptures. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today.
Okay.
Hasten.
I would do that.
Make sure the garment's not spotted by the flesh in any way. Make sure the Babylonian garment is not on. That's my job, Gary. Make sure that your speech is seasoned with salt. Make sure your speech originates from the oracle of God. That's my
right.
job.
Right.
And when I see it not happening, then I speak to it.
Okay.
And that's what I've done for 40-some years.
When you see it not happening, you speak to it.
Right.
How is there any presumption in that at all? When you see it not happening, could it be, it appears to me that it's not happening, what are you doing? Are you thinking about, is there an examination that's going on here? Are you aware of what you're doing? Rather than definitively, it's not happening? You don't know what's happening in me.
That's why exhort actually means lay down alongside.
Exhort to me means love and compassion.
All right. exhort, it doesn't matter what it means to somebody.
Right.
Again, that's your opinion.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you think it means lie down alongside. That's an opinion. Exhort means to go from one state of being to another. Now, that state of being goes from time and space to the mercy seat, to no time. Now, you know, for teaching this, I was asked to leave Highland Park Methodist Church, as most of you know, not to teach there anymore. I sat down with the big guy, and went over. We spent hours and hours going over every scripture. And he said, "My God, Ole, you're right."
Exhortation you're talking about?
No. The whole thing about the teaching of the cross and the dying.
Uh-huh.
But the exhortation is huge in that. It's the whole of one chapter of Hebrews. And they said, this is the last thing that I wanted to do, to teach. It's an odious thing for me in my mind to do what I do. Odious is the right word. For several reasons. One is, who in the hell gave me the right to do this? My answer is nobody. What credentials do you have to say what you have? I have none. Again, as I told you before many times, if I had my druthers, I'd be living in a cave in Arizona. But because of, I guess it's the humor of God, he put me in a place where I can't do that. And that's why I'm here.
Is your salvation more assured because you're here rather than in a cave? Are you holier here than you would be in a cave?
No, but I couldn't do it in a cave.
Do you experience a closeness with God because you're here rather than in a cave?
I have no idea. I didn't try living in a cave after I became a believer.
I just asked that question because sometimes it sounds as though you elevate circumstances and...
Well, that's what my mind does. It elevates that circumstance into being in a cave. I'd love it.
No, it seems to me you're elevating the circumstance of being here.
No, that's the last thing.
But you must have made that choice because you're here when you'd rather be in a cave.
No, I just started speaking. I didn't. I initially on the radio, and then I had no plan. I had no idea.
I know.
But the whole issue of, I mean, the radicalness of what hopefully we all believe is massive.
In terms of, hopefully. We believe it. We're here, really.
Well, okay. And it's, if you can't go to the scriptures and prove it,
mm-hmm.
you'll be ridiculed.
That's why I do what I do. And I understand it, and I appreciate it, and I respect it, and I love it. But here's a stumbling block for me. I believe that there is more than is in here. There's more. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from, but there's more. This is a book which I rever, which I believe in. But again, if I understand what you've told me correctly, this is not the Word. This is a book about the Word. Now, I don't know what... I know how that translates in my consciousness. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing that. But if I believe that, then there are other things. I don't know what they are. It gets really crazy because maybe they're not even written down. But I know those things. And so there have to be answers to some of my experience, my travail, that aren't necessarily in here.
because a lot of this is interpreted by men.
Well, there's no question. I mean, there isn't enough room in the universe if a book was written about everything that he did and said. Except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die. Every time you see a pecan tree, every time in the summer months when you see the leaves fall, or in autumn months, every time you feel the cold hand of winter, every time you're thirsty, every time you drink, every time you eat, everything reveals this mystery. Everything. Now, does that mean that Jesus said all those things? No, he revealed it in himself. By his nature, he created of all things of him and by himself, even in the things that we consider bad. So the whole mystery of God is in much more than the scriptures, but the scriptures are given for a purpose, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I spent 12 years trying to prove it wrong. No, you don't do that. If you can tell me don't do that, I'm telling you don't do that.
I'm
tried to prove that there were contradictions in the scripture. I tried to prove that it was just horseshit.
Okay.
And I couldn't prove it. And the fruit of that is the faith that's stronger than I can, and I can only attest to what the kind of word studies that we do that made that faith that secure. Plus, the world of experiences of held hostage in Lebanon and on and on. But when Sue says I haven't paid the price,
that's crazy.
Well, my point is this. My point is this. I can't do anything other than what I'm doing. The exhortation is going to continue.
We exhort you to.
Huh?
We exhort you.
That's fine.
Apply some of that faith to the people you've been teaching. For
that's fine.
But you don't do that.
I don't do what?
Don't say that's fine. Hear the exhortation.
Well, if I disagree with the exhortation, I'll say so. Just I hope you, if you disagree with my exhortation, you will say so, which you have many times.
Right. So right now we're talking about you and this exhortation. That have faith that God is able within the people you've been teaching. That it's okay.
But it's able with repentance. Repentance has to always be the byword.
God has a lot to do with repentance too.
Well,
don't count him out.
I'm not counting him out, but that's that again. If that's the one thing that your mind can do is to see the vanity and futility of life. That's one thing you can sue is to see and hear Ecclesiastes. And if you can't see that, then exhortation is necessary.
Okay, well, let me go on record saying I don't believe that's a function of the mind. I believe that's a function of God has revealed something that you see, and then repentance can be real.
Well, that's the whole mystery. He
you're giving that credit to the mind, and every time you do it,
just read the meaning of repentance. It's metanomio, with the mind.
I thought you said it wasn't meta. I asked you directly, was that meta? And you said no.
I certainly didn't hear that if you said it. It's meta, no, me. No. I said no when you it was nomos.
Take what I just said and tell me that.
The only thing you said that I said no to was when you said it's nomos.
Forget that conversation. Right now, I've just said to you that I believe that it's God who's involved in repentance. It's not the highest function of the mind.
It's the only function of the mind.
Well, I've just said something different.
And I disagree with you.
And so you don't think it has that God is involved in your repentance. It's something on your mind that takes you to repentance.
Of course he's involved in everything. But your mind has to be willing You can't wait for God to do something. When you see the vanity and futility of it, you can't continue doing it. You can't use the sin to do in the world.
When you see the vanity, that's what I'm saying. When you see the vanity, repentance takes place. It's a gift of God. It's not this screwed up carnal mind.
The point, you know, you hear me. The thing that I've said and always said,
it doesn't
because
matter,
listen,
it a
listen,
times.
Listen.
We're talking right now.
Listen. I'm talking from my own experience
okay,
now.
Okay, let's hear it.
I didn't even believe in God. I just saw the total emptiness of everything. And I said, God, I don't care what it costs me. That's what I want. I don't care what it costs me. What?
There had to be some godliness in you to make that statement. You're talking to God that you don't believe in. That doesn't matter.
I said, God, if you exist. The guy that was telling me, was talking about God. He was an evangelist.
I see.
And that's what caused me to say, God, if you're real.
I see. Okay.
Now, that was the only thing my mind could do, is to see the emptiness, and I don't care what it cost me, is the meaning of repentance. That's the gift of God. The whole thing is a gift of God. But if I see that something is vain and I continue, if it's empty and fruitless and I continue doing it, then there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I see that the whole whore of Babylon's control of the world is based on cause and effect, and I see people living by cause and effect, I'm going to exhort. That's the way it is. You have the power to fire me at any time.
It's not a fireable position.
Of course it is. You, the elders of the church, have the right to remove me at any point.
Remove me from what?
That's just telling me. Senior pastor, whatever it is I am.
Here's what I think. I don't have to be wrong for you to be right. And if you have to be right on that particular point, that we're not communicating clearly. I don't think you even... in fact, I think you do agree with me. But you have to say it in your words for it to be right.
No, I have to say it in a way that communicates to the listeners that are listening and to the other people. And many times you say it in a way that justifies continuing in sin that grace may abound. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's talk about that.
Every time it's come up, we've talked about it.
Let's talk about it right now. You just brought it up. And now you've put a broad brush on everything I've ever said.
No, I said sometimes.
Many times. Okay, well, I don't care if it's two. The point is right now, I've said something about the way repentance happens. And you've denied it. You said you don't believe it, meaning you're right, I'm wrong.
No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that I disagree with you.
Okay, you
I'm not taking the God position.
Disagree with me, that means we're not talking the same language now.
No, we disagree on a point.
But it's a big point. It's a repentance point.
Right.
So it's huge.
And if I disagree violently, if you are doing something that you think is not of faith and you don't repent of it, or at least take the lowest seat, then that's a big problem. You asked me to talk about it, that's what I'm doing.
Keep talking. But I'm talking back.
All right.
Now we're talking. It's not just one guy talking. It's two people talking. We're talking to each other.
I'm in here too.
And John's in here. Jeff's in here. So I've said that repentance is a gift of God. You don't deny that. You said it's the highest function of the mind, apparently.
I said the only function. From God's standpoint.
The only function of the mind. And I'm saying repentance comes from seeing first. When you see, I see repentance more as an automatic. Now you can deny it and not repent with your mind. That's when you're thrown back into mind world, making a choice to not repent. But if God shows you something, then your response to it, and I don't think it's a mental response, it's a response of the Spirit of God in you. You see and you agree with God, and there is repentance.
The power of God is the preaching of the cross. That's what it says.
I agree with that.
No.
He teaches that.
Okay. But
no disagreement.
But the whole mystery of preaching of the cross is to identify a place where you haven't picked up the cross, that you haven't died.
And within that mystery of preaching the cross, you are causing people to see something they never saw before, understand it, which they never understood before. Consequently, by seeing and understanding, repentance is the response. It's not, oh gosh.
No.
That's how I hear.
Repentance. No, I'm talking about the things that that's not even in the same ball game from what I'm saying. I'm saying that if I as a believer right now, and I've tried to do it and it didn't work. I was an expert money raiser.
Right.
That's what I did for a living.
Right.
I can't raise money for the foundation and never have been able to, and I can't because it's somehow connected to me. And that may be ego, but it's failed. I can't do it. I can't even think about doing it. But if I go out now and start a big fundraising program, I'd be rebuilding the thing that I destroyed, and I'd make myself a transgressor. So, because if I use cause and effect and the elements of my mind to accomplish an end, then I would be returning to the thing that I destroyed.
Only if it inflated you. Only if it
No. Period. Because it's not a faith.
I'm lost on that.
Whatsoever is not a faith is sin.
I don't understand why that.
Because I'm returning to my mind to accomplish an end.
I don't. That doesn't necessarily connect. It might connect in your circumstance.
That's all I'm saying. That's
but
all I'm saying.
I can't understand that.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I can't.
I'm saying the same thing. We're not far here. We're not on opposite sides of the universe here. I understand that.
Okay.
But you know what? I not only understand it, I respect it. Because I can relate to it. Maybe not in that particular circumstance about raising money, but things in my life, I can't go back there. I know that. I know that feeling. It's ugly, it's dirty, and I don't want any part of it. I understand that perfectly. But that's me, that's the meanness in me, and that's the holiness in you.
Yeah,
and we have to respect that in each other.
But it's not just in me, it's anybody.
Yeah, it's in, there are part. There,
if anybody is living by cause and effect, or returning to the mind for their sustenance, then there's an issue.
No one is saying that. You act like everyone is doing that, and I'm not convinced that that's
I'm not saying everyone is doing that.
Well, that's what
But that's the main part of what dying to self means.
Granted, yes, I understand that. I do.
That's why I emphasize it.
Then why do we talk about it every day? And frankly, I apologize for saying this, but in a very accusatory and condescending way we hear it.
That's the only way I know to talk. I'm condescending, so I don't mean to be.
I think this is the deeper level of repentance that I've been referring to. I have to do it. I think you have to do it, unless you're resisting it. And the reason I would say that is God is sufficient in you. Beyond what you've learned, beyond what you've taught for 40 years. At this point, that doesn't mean anything.
I never said it did.
You say it all the time.
What? How do
you say it all the time by saying, I've taught this for 40 years. I did that. Well, those 40 years are gone. Here we are now. Has not those 40 years done something now in you? I'm sure it has. In me. I've listened. John, Jeff, you know. So that's what we're trying to break down those barriers. It doesn't matter what you've taught for 40 years. At all.
Well, I don't understand what your point is.
The point is now.
and now I'm going to still say, exhort one another daily, what I still call today. I'm going to still say.
Why don't you repent of that? And you will say what you will say. You've declared yourself. You've said, here's who I'm going to be tomorrow and the day after and the day after.
I'm going to say that I'm going to continue to preach the cross till I die.
Why don't you just forget that and let God do it? He'll do it. You're acting like you are going to do it. But I'm saying repent of that. Set yourself free. You will preach the cross. But the fact that you have to declare it makes it different. Makes it...
What is this? I mean, this is vain jangling to me. You're just picking out little points here and there. What is going on?
Well, maybe you're on a hot seat. Is that possible? Maybe we're trying to reach you in a way it's very difficult to reach you. Because you're already...
I'm what?
You're a fixed reality in your own mind.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Sure, it's bullshit. You declare it all the time when you say, I've taught this for 40 years, and that's where I'm standing, and I'm not going to do anything different. Well, okay, that's who Holy Anthony is. How about Holy Anthony gone and the Spirit of God is in you? Now, that's the reality.
You don't think I know that? You don't think I live that?
Why am I saying these words to you?
Because I've said what you've said in response to certain things that people have done or said. And I didn't sit up here and brag about it. I said it in response to something.
About teaching for 40 years?
Yeah.
You bring it up a lot.
Well, I didn't bring it up without it coming up, but because it was something
there's
was
no,
said.
There's no justification for it. You're justifying yourself.
Well, I'm only answering your question. If that's it, justifying myself.
I'm trying to push through to something different here.
What?
Where is
what difference are you trying to push through to?
You're a new creature.
I've always been.
And
I know that.
And you'll be a new creature tomorrow, if there's tomorrow. But that tomorrow's the same as now. There's no change.
That's not my business.
But there's something about repentance that we're talking about. We're pushing this repentance to a level up. I pray that it has more meaning than ever before.
Well, that's fine.
And without it, you got to participate instead of resist. You resist.
What am I resisting? I don't understand what you're saying.
You're resisting even understanding the questions that are being put out, and you change the subject, and you go off in another direction, and it diffuses the conversation. So the directness of it.
What is the conversation?
One is about repentance.
Okay, well then address
and
that.
We disagree, and that's just okay with you.
It's not okay with me. It never has been.
And it's not okay with me either. But we can't get to the bottom of the conversation. It gets tricky.
No, it's because that's, from my standpoint, I've given that to God.
So then, in our disagreement, you've given it to God.
I've given that issue to God. I did it 3 times earlier today. I mean, in this. So it's not my business now.
Well, I have to do that too, but I find it a little uncomfortable because it just hangs there.
Well, that's why you just talking. Let's look at a couple of things. And again, I'm not bringing this up to accuse you in any way because what you went through was necessary for the body. The whole idea of not understanding what eternity was, no time. Listen.
All right, go ahead.
You thought, and you said it many times, and we go back to the tapes, that God was acting differently in different times. You said that.
I didn't say that.
But you were. But it was dispensation. It was effectively dispensation.
All right.
And my response to it was always, that's because you're looking at it in time. We have to look at it from God's standpoint.
Here's what I said. I didn't really say that. What I said was, what difference did it make that Jesus came in time? Your answer has always been, no difference.
Right.
And yet I've heard you preach in the last 6 months, time after time, what happened when Jesus came. The church was born.
No, I said the church was born in Abel.
You've said that. But in Acts, that happened in time. The Spirit in a time frame was given. Now, yes, it's eternal, and I understand that. But also it happened in time. And there's where my question lies. What difference did it make in time that it happened?
None.
And then you can't answer that question.
No, I've
you
said none.
Say, what?
I've said that it makes no difference.
That is your answer.
But you said I can't answer it.
All right, well, that is your answer. It made no difference.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make any sense that it made no difference.
And my response to you was it makes no sense if you're looking at it in time. But if you look at it out of time, it's perfect sense. That's what homologio means. Say the same thing as God. Say the same thing as Christ. And you have to hear the same thing, to see the same thing, to speak the same thing.
Okay, that's true. But is that part of the question?
Well, I think it goes to the nut of the question.
Okay, so it's positional.
It's either
if
from eternity.
If you don't want to answer the question, you go into eternity and say it doesn't make any difference. But
Gary, I can't do anything else but teach from the position of eternity.
So you can't talk about what's going on in time and space. We celebrate it. We have seven feasts we celebrate that took place in time and space.
What's your point?
It feels like to me. You don't want, you refuse to address the question on the level it's asked.
Because it's meaningless.
But it might have a whole lot of meaning if you could address it in the form it's asked. Rather than accuse me of all kinds of stuff to the point of a heretic. I mean, you're all over the map.
Well, everybody in here has been a heretic, including me. And there must be heresies among you so that which is proved can be true.
So then you hold fast in that I'm a heretic.
No, I don't.
Because I asked that question.
Of course not. You wouldn't be a teacher if I hold fast that you were a heretic.
Well, then why do you call me one when I bring up a question that is not a loaded question?
Gary.
Did
I call you a heretic? I said you were. What you said, and I've said it to him. I've said it about everybody. Sometimes what you say is heresy. That's what I said.
Okay, I don't have to fight that one. The point is that that's what.
And sometimes what I say is heresy.
Okay.
And that's why we have to go back to the book.
And I like that. I like the book there. But I like what we're doing right now, too.
I don't know why. It's not getting anything. You're looking at stuff from in time. That's where you're trying to get me to look, and I have no interest in looking at stuff in time.
You preached it. I've sat here after you berated me for years, 10 years probably, over that particular question. I think it was that long ago I asked.
10? No, it was 30 years ago.
I don't care how long. Forever. And I've never thought it was a dumb question. I never thought it was irrelevant. And yet you have always, and then you've added to it that I'm justifying sin, or what is it? You attach a lot of things to the question and then label me.
Oh, Gary. If that's your perception of what
I've
done. That's
what I hear you do. Now, if that's not what you're doing, if your honest answer is I've never done that, or that's not what
I'm not going to say I've never done that. My memory isn't good enough.
Right.
But I've never meant to put you in that position any more than anybody else.
Well, it's been uncomfortable, but I...
No, the only reason you get the heat is because you open your mouth.
Yeah.
But it's necessary that everybody gets the heat.
I don't deny that. I believe.
And you serve that purpose. You're the bell cow.
I understand that too.
And that's a blessed position. It may not seem like it.
Yeah.
But as long as the rest of them don't come out and say what's there, then that's your position. And I'm going to continue to say, we look at it from eternal, and you're going to continue to say, I look, then that's fine.
But my question is in time and space. It doesn't lock me in time and space. I can ask a question in time and space or eternity, and I'm not bound to either one.
I'm not going to answer any questions that are about time and space. The only things we recently celebrate the feast days because God said they're eternal. Celebrate them as long as time lasts.
Well, God saw fit to create time and space. So
right, because it's for antagonism.
Okay, so the idea that you're not going to talk about it is a little strange, and I don't believe you mean that. Because how can you talk?
I'm constantly going to exhort you to look at whatever it is we're studying from the mercy seat. From your death's position. That's all I can do.
Well,
that's the meaning of preaching the cross. And the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Well, so my point to you is that
we're not opposed in any way to that.
Good. So therefore, I can only preach what I see as the fruit of the preaching of the cross. That's all I'm capable of doing.
Okay.
I don't understand that.
Your death is the preaching of the cross, and the idea that eternity is no time is the preaching of the cross. There's a bunch of other stuff that are the fruit of preaching the cross.
We're called to eternity. We have to have an awareness that this is not our place. We have a higher calling. Am I right in that? Is that?
It's only antagonism. It's only you give breath to anything in time and space. It's got the love of God isn't in you.
It's not a question of whether you give it breath. It's a question of recognizing that that's not our calling. That's not where we belong. We don't belong here.
And that's what I've said.
We're in agreement again. We're in agreement. Let me talk to you about. This is crazy. It's after.
I'm going to turn this thing off. Take it, big guy.